Father God, we welcome your presence this morning.
Lord, we're here to meet with you.
And Father, as we open your word this morning, as other speakers come to lead us into your presence this week, Lord, we don't want to bypass you. Don't let us be caught doing our own things. But let us be caught up in your presence. Father, we know you have so much you want to pour into our lives. Don't let us miss it. Father, we thank you for all the work that's been done. We thank you for over 3,000 salvations. We thank you for hundreds of healings. We thank you for all of the deliverances. All of the miracles. All of the encounters. But Lord, don't let us switch our mind off. Because you have more for us. There's always more. And so, Lord, we want to meet with you. We want to hear from you. We want you to touch our lives as we partner with you and what you're doing in the earth. So, Lord, we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We call this conference the Believer's Mandate. And simply stated, the Believer's Mandate is this. You've received the gospel. Now it's time to give it away. We don't receive the gospel and then sit down and think now we've achieved everything in life and now we just wait to die so that we go to heaven. Now we just wait for the rapture for Jesus to take us away.
No.
As soon as you're born again, you are now part of the mission Jesus is working in the world. This morning, I want us to look at a verse that always comes to mind when I think about this mission. In Mark chapter 3. Honestly, I think I might say this is one of the theme verses for my life. Because I repeat it to myself almost every morning. Not quoting it, but remembering what it's teaching. In the book of Mark, Jesus had already been going out and preaching and doing his ministry. But then in verse 13 of chapter 3, it says he went up on the mountain and he called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles. It says so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. I believe this is a mission statement for every disciple of Jesus Christ. He calls us to himself. None of us are born again because we thought it was a good idea. Jesus
draws us to himself. If Jesus does not draw us, if the Holy Spirit doesn't pull on your heart, you'll never get saved. Because most of us in our sinfulness, we think we're good enough. We have everything we want. And so if somebody comes and tells you, this life you're living, it's sending you to hell. You need to be saved. Most lost people begin to argue. What do you mean I need to be saved? I'm a good person. I take care of my family. I take care of my children. I'm a hard-working person. I've never killed anyone. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not like those other people. I'm not one of those drunkards. I'm a good person. What do you mean I need to be saved? Most of us in our sinfulness, we're deceived. Thinking that we can be good enough and God is happy enough with us. Maybe we're not a saint. Maybe we're not perfect. But we're okay. And we deceive ourselves. You know, in my own life, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a strong testimony of that hardness toward God. Because I grew up in an area that is, we would say it's a Christian town. In a Christian state. In a Christian nation. Most of you think America is a Christian nation.
People
teach that everywhere. But where I come from in Texas, those are the real Christians. Not like those people in California and New York. Texas is real Christians. And then you come down to my little town. My town has a population of 3,000 people. We're the real Christians. Not like those people in the cities. And I know that there's a temptation to feel that.
We
look at the people around us, and if all of our friends say they're Christian, then we're Christian. I thought I was a Christian because all of my friends were Christian. I thought I was a Christian because when I was a young child, about 5 years old, I went to a Sunday school and they preached the gospel. And they said, say this prayer and you'll be saved. And Jesus will keep you for all of eternity. So I said the prayer. Now I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And then a few months later, my parents quit attending church. They were very wounded by some things that happened. I was raised outside of the church. I started doing my own things. By the time I was 13 years old, I was buying some books on witchcraft and learning how to curse people. That same year, I started having sex with guys and with girls. The world says a little sex makes you feel good, so a lot of sex may feel better. By the time I was 15, we had the first computer in our home. We had internet. And I was already addicted to pornography. I would stay up very late at night, downloading photos of naked people. By the time I was 16, I was an alcoholic. By the time I was 17, I was doing drugs. Not just smoking those herbal things. But the ones you see in TV where they're cooking the chemicals and doing all those things. But I knew I was a Christian. Because all of my friends were Christian. I live in a Christian town. In a Christian nation. We're all Christian. And even though I know I'm doing some things wrong, I knew I was saved. Because I wasn't as bad as the others. There were people way worse than I was. And so sometimes I would get convicted. I would visit a youth program with a friend. Or a church program. Like a crusade or something. And they would say, if you're a sinner, God cannot have relationship with you. You need to repent and get saved. And I would run back to the altar. I would get saved. Again and again and again. I don't know how many times I got saved. From the time I was 12 until the time I was 18, I must have got saved at least 10 times. But the problem was I didn't understand what salvation meant. I did not understand what I thought was Jesus saves you and then you just live your life. I thought getting saved meant that when you die, you go to heaven. I didn't know salvation had meaning for now. I didn't know it meant something for today. I didn't understand that Christianity is a relationship. It's not just a prayer you prayed sometime a long time ago. The Bible says Jesus called to himself those whom he desired. And they came to him. And it says he appointed them. The first reason is so that they might be with him. Jesus doesn't just save us so that our sins are forgiven and we get heaven. If that's the promise that you prayed a prayer to be saved for, If you got saved because someone told you you're going to hell, get saved and you'll go to heaven. If that's why you prayed the prayer, I'm sorry, but they didn't tell you the truth. Heaven is not the reward of salvation. Jesus is the reward of salvation. The good news of salvation is you get Him. You get relationship with Him. The brokenness that we walked away from God, those issues are overcome, and we get restored to the Father. The only reason you go to heaven is because that's where Jesus is. Heaven is His home. It's His castle. It's where His throne is. And so we go to heaven, but heaven is not the focus. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that every eye in heaven is fixed on the throne. Every eye is looking at Jesus. And I know the Bible gives us pictures. We talk about streets of gold. The gates made of pearl. And all of the jewels and all of the glory. But I promise, nobody's giving you a tour around heaven. Nobody's saying, let me show you this nice building where we keep the food. Let me show you the beautiful rivers and beaches. As soon as you get to heaven and they greet you at the gates, they're saying, welcome. Let me take you to Jesus. Because that's where we spend eternity. There's a creature in heaven, an angelic being. The Bible says he just has all of these eyes. But every eye is fixed on Jesus. If you come in and you walk into heaven and you're like, yes, I've made it to heaven. Where's my mansion? Where's the good food I was promised? That marriage supper, I want steak. I want the wine. I want the good things. That creature who's looking at Jesus, maybe it will just move one eye to look at you and tell you, Jesus is your reward. Jesus is the reward of salvation. He's the desire of nations. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's the lover of your soul. I promise you, He's the only blessing you need. Because when you have Him, you have everything. But see, we want other things. We want our blessing. I want my money. My house. My car. My food. My beautiful wife. We want all of the things. But we don't want Him. And this is proven over and over in Scripture. Look at the story of the prodigal son. If you don't know the story, I'll tell you briefly. Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. The younger son comes to his father. And he says, Father, I'm a man. Give me my inheritance. Let me translate. Father, I don't want you. I wish you were dead. When does a child get their inheritance? You get the inheritance when the father dies. So the son says, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance so that I can do my own things. And he takes his inheritance, his blessings, and he goes into the world and he lives his own life. And he wastes it. He doesn't use his blessings to honor his father. He buys prostitutes. He gets drunk. He goes to parties. He wastes his inheritance. And then he realizes, you know, maybe my father wasn't so bad. Things were better for me in my father's house. So he decides on this plan. Let me go back to my father's house. And if you read it, he's kind of manipulating the father. He still doesn't want the father. But he wants the father's stuff. So, Father, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But let me be a servant in your house. Let me be a slave in your house. Because he knew the slaves have somewhere to sleep. They have food. They have clothing. He still does not want the father. He doesn't come back and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, let me be your son. But he's still working out, how can I get stuff? That son is not coming back to repent. But as you read the story, the father is looking. He's watching. And the Bible says the father runs to his son. And he grabs him. And he carries him home. Jesus runs to us to bring us into his home when we're still thinking, how can we get God's blessing? How can we get God's stuff? We don't want him, but we want our portion. And see, in Israel, there was actually a ritual. Because that son had brought so much shame on not just the father, but on their whole community. That when that son would have come back into the village, the people in the community would have performed this ritual. To say, you are not one of us. You are not welcome here. The people on the inside would try to keep that one out. Jesus is speaking a little bit to the Pharisees. The religious people who would say, he's not like us, he can't come back. So before the community can cast the boy out permanently, The father runs to him and brings him home.
It
says he puts on a
robe.
When the father puts his clothing on you,
it's
so people think he looks like his father.
They
recognize the son because he's wearing the father's clothes. Jesus clothes us in his righteousness.
It
says he put shoes on his feet.
Only
slaves would go barefoot.
Children
wear shoes. He put a ring on his finger. In those days, the ring would have a design.
And
if you signed a letter, like a bank
loan,
you wouldn't sign with a pen.
But
they would drip wax and you would press the ring into the wax.
The
father was giving him authority over the household.
To do
business on the father's
behalf.
We'll come back to that in a minute.
And
then the father tells the servants, go and kill the fattest calf. We're having a party.
Even
when the son did not want the father,
the
father wanted his son.
And
he brought him back to himself.
But
I said there were two brothers.
Where's
the other brother?
He's
somewhere working for the father.
He's
a son. But we know by his response, he's working like a slave.
And
he hears the music.
And
he's going, hey, what's happening at the house?
And
they say, oh, your brother has returned. Your father is celebrating.
And
the older brother's going, what? No, that boy can't come back. And so he refuses to go into the party.
And
so what happens?
The
father also comes to him.
And
he says, son,
what's
wrong? How come you won't come to my party I'm throwing?
And
he says, no. This boy has wasted everything.
He's
disrespected you.
He's
brought shame on our family.
And
you treat him like this?
What
about me?
What
does he say?
I
have been with you.
Maybe of me be
working for you every day.
Azinga mini sadiasi.
And you've never even given me one goat. So that I can celebrate with my friends.
The
older brother didn't want the father. He's only concerned about his blessing.
He's
not living in sin, but he's working like a slave.
I have to
earn my way.
I
have to do everything right.
Then
I can get my father's blessing.
And the
father said, son,
everything
I have is yours.
You're
wanting a goat, but you have everything.
But my
son was lost, now he's found.
Come
and celebrate with
me.
The father is also calling the older brother to himself. But the story ends, we don't know if the older brother came or not. Both brothers, the sinful one and the one who's self-righteous. He's the picture of religious works. The one trying to earn something. Neither of them wanted the Father. They both only wanted his stuff. His blessing. And this is the message we preach in the church. If you get saved, when you die, you go to heaven. You get the blessing. If you get saved, God will give you money, houses, cars, nice clothing. You'll never be sick. You'll never have a problem. Just get saved and receive your blessing.
I'm
sorry, that's false religion. The call of the gospel is you get Jesus, because he's worth more. He's better than every blessing. Listen, if you enter heaven from a life of poverty with no clothes, no shoes, no food, the rats come in the night and nibble on you. But you come into heaven and you get Jesus. You have a reward better than the richest man in the world. Jesus is the reward of our salvation. He's the desire of nations. And so we think we can make it ourselves. But he brings us to himself. He called those whom he desired. And they came to him. If you're born again, I want you to understand this. You are the desire of Jesus' heart. You are the reward for his suffering. The Bible says it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. That's why he endured the cross. You are Jesus' joy. Pastor Okumu told us last night, Jesus loves what he's created. You're his joy. You're his delight. Maybe I can say it this way. You are Jesus' blessing. You are his inheritance from the Father. And he's called you because he wants relationship with you. He doesn't want Christians that just say a prayer and then their life out there however they want to live. He wants those who will come to him and stay with him. It says so they might be with him. Christian, this is the number one calling on your life. Is to be with Jesus. Every morning when you wake up, find Jesus. Read his word. Sing praises to him. Go to him in prayer. Ask him for wisdom on how to live your life that day. When you sit down in the middle of your day, don't ignore him, but say, Jesus, I know I'm busy, but I just want to give you a few of minutes because I want to be with you more than the thing I'm doing. You know, no matter how busy I am in my day, I'll be sitting in my office working. But then my mind goes, I wonder what my wife is doing.
And
I will leave my work to go find her.
And
just be with her for a
minute.
And then say, okay, I need to go back to work.
But
we ignore Jesus all day.
We need to pay
attention to him. This is why Paul told us to pray without
ceasing. It
doesn't mean we can pray 24 hours a day. But it means Jesus should always be on our mind.
And
any chance we get, we're wanting to speak to him and be with him. When you go to bed at night, he should be the last thought. Jesus, thank you for today.
Thank you for being with me.
Thank you for how you have
provided.
Listen, we sing these songs. But do we mean it?
I'm
not going to sing.
But
we say in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
In the
morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
We
want him morning, noon, and night. In our songs.
But
how many of us that's true for our lives? Christian, if you get nothing else from me for the rest of this event, get this. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He doesn't just save you so you go to heaven. He saves you so that you can be with him. In this life and in eternity. But see, when we get confused about that, that's why we backslide. Because if we're waiting for heaven, we're waiting for our blessing, then we don't get to him.
And
it's easy for us to find ourselves looking to other things.
Now,
Pastor, I was born again 5 years ago.
But
what has Jesus done for me, really?
So me,
I'm focusing on my business.
Because
I need to make money. I can't go on that mission. I've got to work. What has he done for me, really? I don't have school fees. I don't have food.
I
was promised a blessing. But what? We want his stuff. We don't want him. Sometimes Jesus hides our blessing to see what we're really pursuing. Because see, when the younger son came back into the father's house, he got relationship with the father. But in relationship with the father, he got all the blessings. Jesus wants you to be with him. And then when you're with him, amazing things will happen. When you're with him, he clothes you in his righteousness. He puts shoes on your feet. Shoes of the gospel of peace. So that everywhere you walk, you're representing him. You look like him. And you're going in his name. What was the second thing he said? So that they might be with him. And he might send them out to proclaim the gospel, to represent him to others. Listen, for some of you, Preaching the gospel will look like a crusade. Or street preaching. Or going door to door. For some of you, you're very uncomfortable with that. But it doesn't mean you don't represent him. Because when you're wearing his robes, when you're wearing his shoes, even when you go to school, or you go to the market, or you go to your workplace, or you go to the clan meeting, wherever you go, you're representing him. And if he's the first thought on your mind, he's the first thing you want to talk about. You don't want to talk about those sinful things. You go and visit your friends, they're watching football. And they say, oh, you're welcome. Would you like a beer? We have some beer. No, I have Jesus. Jesus is with me. Right? Listen. It's already happened to me 3 times since we've been to Arua. Some woman comes to me. Hey, how are you? What are you doing in Arua? Me, I'm looking for a Mzungu husband. I have a wife. I'm sorry, I'm not looking for something else. I love my wife. Listen, when you know Jesus, when you love Jesus, when you want Jesus more than anything, there's no temptation that's going to make you take off those robes and kick off those shoes. You're going to walk in your identity as a son of God. I can't take your beer. I love Jesus. And we talked about that ring of authority. The third thing he said is that they might have authority over all the devils. That's why as you're walking and you're going through your day, even the devil can't touch you. I tell people all the time, the devil is loud, like a wild dog. And he's growling and barking. You see him and you start looking how to get away. But then he opens his mouth and he doesn't have any teeth. Jesus has removed the teeth from the devil. He might make a loud noise, but he can't bite you. You're wearing the authority of Christ. Listen, our calling as Christians is to be with the Father. That's the reward. That's your blessing. It's Jesus. And when you have him, you have it all. And then when you walk in this world, you walk in his name, wearing his righteousness, and sharing everything he's done in your life. When Peter and James walked into the market, Pastor Okumu told us last night, he saw the lame man. He said, I'm sorry. I don't have money to give you. # missionary problems. I don't have silver and gold for you. But I'll give you what I have. Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. And because they had been with Jesus, the man stood up, leaping, jumping and praising God.
And here's what I find interesting. This is where I'm going to close. In that story, I know the story, but I want to give you the verse. In that story, when that man got healed, it upset all of the religious people. All of the older brothers who were working for God, trying to earn their blessing. The community who was ready to stone the son and kick him out. It offends the religious leaders. And so they called these people to the council. They arrested them. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, peasants, people from the deep bush. These aren't city people. They're not dressed like city people. Peter and John already said we don't have silver and gold. They weren't coming in wearing big robes as the apostles. They weren't coming in speaking the language of the philosophers. These were fishermen. Jesus found them fishing. Many of my grandparents' generation were fishermen. Here's what I know about fishermen. Fishermen do not speak well. They don't have educated language. More than that, fishermen stink. They smell like fish. Not just when they're on the lake. Fishermen go home. They go home. They bathe. They use soap. And then you get close to them. You're still smelling fish. This was some of my family. I know what I'm saying. I would go to their home. Their home smelled like fish. We would go back to my home. For the next 5 days, all I'm smelling is fish. I thought they hid it in my shoes. I'm just smelling fish. Jesus took fishermen. And he didn't raise them up to be presidents and kings of their country. But he called them to be with himself. They began to look like him. And then he sent them out to represent him. And it says that they perceived they were uneducated, common men. And it says they were astonished. Who are these people? Who taught them to do these things? Who told them they could preach? Who told them they could heal someone in our temple? And then it says this. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. The leaders did not recognize Peter and John as the great apostles. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Christian, the calling on your life
is to be with him above everything else. Choose the best portion. Be with him. And then wherever he sends you, whatever you find yourself doing, make sure you're wearing his robe, wearing his shoes, wearing the ring of the Father, so that you can represent him to the world. Would you stand and let us pray? Father,
hallelujah.
I thank you for these men and women. I thank you that you have called them to yourself. And they've responded to your call. They've put their trust in you. They've called you Savior. But Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would draw them closer. Father, would you truly change our hearts so that you are our number one desire? That we're not waiting for heaven. We're not looking for blessings in this world. But we want Jesus because you're enough. We want Jesus because you're the best. Jesus, you're the reward that we receive. Would you be the full desire of our hearts? Father, for these believers in this place, I ask that you would put protection around them right now, because the devil is barking. But Lord, would you silence him? Would you shut down every threat he's trying to put on them? No weapon formed against them will prosper. And so Lord, we, in the authority of Jesus Christ, we break off every scheme of the enemy. And Lord, I pray that you would clothe us in your righteousness. Clothe us in your holiness. Clothe us in your power, so that just as we know you, we can make you known to others. Father, we thank you for our salvation. Now may we enjoy the reward of knowing you. Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before I sit down, you can be seated. But before I sit down, I feel the need to ask this question. Because I know most of us in this room, we say we're Christian. But I would ask you to check yourself. Have you truly been born again? Or did you only get saved for the promise of heaven? You didn't get saved because you want the Father. You got saved because you wanted a golden mansion in the sky. Did you truly get born again because you want Jesus? Or did you get saved because you're looking for blessings? Looking for prosperity? Looking for only good things in your life? Because if that's you, you got saved for the wrong reason. And if you really look deeply in your heart, you might find that you're not truly saved at all. I told you I prayed that prayer at least 10 times. But I wasn't being saved to get Jesus. I was getting saved because I was scared of hell. But my life showed that I truly hadn't repented. I was still living for myself and doing my own sinful things. Until one day I heard the voice of the Lord clearly. Because I had thought about killing myself. He said, if you don't want your life, give it to me.
If entered the money.
That day I was truly born again.
And
all of the power of hell was broken off of my life. I stopped watching pornography. Stopped having sex with people. Stopped drinking alcohol. Stopped doing drugs. I truly gave myself to Jesus. And I have known him as my friend and my father ever since. Is there anyone here today who would say boldly, Pastor Scott, that's me. I prayed a prayer sometime, but I'm not really saved. I prayed a prayer one time, but I am so backslidden. You can't see Jesus in my life. You can't see Jesus in my life. Is there anyone here you would say, that's me today? And I want to give myself to Jesus truly. Would you just wave at me where you're sitting? There's one. Is there any other? There are a few. Can I just invite you to come stand with me here? I'm not doing this to embarrass you. This is not... But this is truly to say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. I want you as my only reward. As my only hope. Thank you. Thank you for being honest.
Because,
listen, for me, this was the hardest thing in my life.
Because
my friends knew I was Christian. My church knew I was Christian. I was even a leader in the youth group. But I was out getting drunk with my youth pastor. Everyone knew I was a Christian. But when the Lord called me, I had to be honest. I couldn't worry who was watching me or what will people
think.
But it was the best decision I ever made. So just raise your hands to the Lord. We want to pray. Repeat these words. Say, Father, I come to you right now. I'm sorry that I have looked at your salvation and made it about my reward. I'm sorry. I have chased your blessings. But from today, Jesus, I give you my life. I only want you. I'm turning my back on all of the things of this world. You are my reward. Jesus, would you take your place on the throne of my heart? I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. And I want to have relationship with you. Beginning today. And for all of eternity. Jesus, I give myself to you. Would you receive me into your house? Into your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now just stand here. I want to pray for you. Keep your hands up. Father, I bless these
men and women.
Lord, I thank you for their boldness
to come to you,
to seek you as Savior
and
friend. And Lord, I pray that you would begin working in their heart from today. That there is no looking back. Jesus, you are the goal of their life. The cross before me, the world behind me. I'm not going back. Father, in Jesus' name, we celebrate their salvation. We receive them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And by the power of the gospel, by the truth of your word, and by the authority of the Holy Spirit, we declare that their sins have been forgiven. Because Jesus has wiped them away. All of their past is over. And their life begins new from right now. So Holy Spirit, would you come and fill them with your presence to make them holy as you are holy. And empower them to represent Jesus in this world. Father, we receive them into your kingdom. And we ask you to make your home with them. Let them hear your voice. Let them know your presence every day of their life. And they enter heaven. May they run straight to your throne. Only looking for you.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.